From today's Gospel, the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. So they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. One of my favourite hymns, in fact it is set down for my requiem whenever that happens, is the well-known hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, and that Thou Bidst Come To Thee, O Lamb of God, I Come. Sung, of course, to the beautiful Anglican tune, and not the better-known American Baptist tune. It is particularly when sung in the context of Episcopal worship a beautiful hymn at Holy Communion time. Several years ago, in my previous parish, it was being sung as the hymn after communion. And as I was at the altar doing the ablutions and consuming the remains of the precious blood and cleansing the vessels, the master of ceremonies whispered to me in a low voice, "Brothers and sisters, come forward." He, of course, was referring to the use of that hymn in those great Billy Graham evangelical rallies, where people would come forward to make their decision for Christ as the choir sang that well-known hymn. It was always moving and a little theatrical, and certainly many people came to Christ through that endeavour. Billy Graham was a great American gift to the church and to the world. He was larger than life as he moved all over the world with this passion for evangelism. Thousands flocked to his rallies, and many people are thankful for that turning point in their lives as they either returned to church or became Christians. These days, that sort of rally and that corporate event of decision for Christ have faded somewhat. They tend to be very much a part back of the 50s and 60s. We certainly no longer hear of rallies drawing 100,000. And indeed, to be honest, it was never really a part of Episcopalian church life. Episcopalians don't usually do that sort of evangelical rally. Our priests are very rarely involved in those sort of expressions of commitment and conversion. In our tradition, both priests and laity tend to be, shall we say, rather timid about proclaiming our faith in Christ, about converting others, and about that style of evangelism. We, rather than others, concentrate on the liturgy and the sacraments as a means of converting people to Christ. And all of us, particularly if we've been members of the Episcopal Church for a while, know that over the years, the sacraments in particular have helped us in our conversion to be more Christ-like. So it's a gradual process, rather than some instantaneous decision which changes us forever. We are more reticent when it comes to public declarations of faith and calls to repentance. So when we look at today's Gospel from Mark chapter 6, we see that it wasn't always a comfortable means of evangelism that the church did. The apostles were called by Jesus to a ministry of evangelism that was very much like Billy Graham, preaching for repentance. On various occasions, Jesus called the apostles and charged them to go out to preach, teach, heal, and baptize, and that exactly is what they did. And in the Gospel today, we see how it worked out. It says, they went out and preached that men should repent, and then, hand in hand, it says, they anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. You see, there's a union here. It's not just the proclamation of the gospel. It's a healing, and it's a healing with holy oil. You see, it's not just a ministry of healing that goes hand in hand with a proclamation about Christ, but it's a sacramental ministry. Right there at the beginning, the sacrament of holy unction, which continues to this day, and which we have recourse to when we are going to hospital or facing some healing crisis or decision. One of the seven sacraments, right from the beginning, part of converting people to Christ. Billy Graham was right to preach repentance, and the church is right to offer the sacraments. But in the words of the old song, you can't have one without the other. For in bringing people to a decision about Christ, we must surely hand them over to the church to become members of the church and receive all the grace they need through the sacraments. And yet, perhaps our great fault as Episcopalians is that we have concentrated on pastoral ministry and the sacraments and neglected preaching about repentance of sins. In fact, these days in the Episcopal Church, you hardly hear a word about sin, as if through our wonderful good deeds and through our Millennium Development Goals, we have suddenly eradicated sin as a personal thing in our lives. Nothing could be further from the truth, and maybe we need to get back to preaching again repentance of sins. And yet I say that both preaching, repentance, and sacramental ministry are integral together to evangelism. For those who are converted to Christ also will need healing, and if not healing, certainly pastoral care. And all of this is evangelism. One of the great boasts of being Episcopal and Anglican is that we believe very much in pastoral care. So much so that if the rector was a lousy preacher, we would forgive him if he loved his people and cared for them. Though we would like, of course, to have both if it was humanly possible. This word evangelism comes up all the time whenever I attend meetings of clergy or diocesan communication things. It's like a buzzword. And yet, as a church, we are generally one which doesn't preach repentance like we find in the gospel today. We are better at actions rather than words. Is that perhaps a downfall? Perhaps our problem is we see that it's the clergy's job to preach repentance and to evangelize. And certainly it could be a result of today's gospel. For in the gospel it is the apostles who are charged to do this, to be the ones who go and preach and evangelize. And so maybe we can be excused for thinking it's the clergy's job. And we certainly expect the clergy to preach, heal, teach, baptize, and administer the sacraments. And yet when we look at the epistle today from Ephesians chapter 1, we see an implication by St. Paul that all of us, clergy and laity, are called to a ministry of evangelism. All of us are called to proclaim the mighty works of God in Christ Jesus. All through St. Paul's epistles, he makes this plain. He says we're all called to be members of the body of Christ with our own gifts and talents, and all of us are called to proclaim the gospel and to evangelize. Now, before all of you in the front start moving down to the back because you wonder where this sermon is going, let me tell you that evangelism, and this may surprise some people, which really results in the growth of a church, doesn't come from rallies, doesn't come from telling people they're sinners and need to convert. It comes mainly through people in a church like this inviting others, acquaintances, friends, neighbours, to join them on a Sunday morning. That is the biggest means of evangelism. Just a simple invitation to come to church, come and see. Come and see all saints. And we have something marvellous to show, don't we? That's why we come here. And we come here not just because we love our liturgy and the tradition and the music, but because we believe all this is wonderful and is surely a true gate to heaven, that here people might encounter Christ and the things of eternity. And what could be more converting than for a person to discover that at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning? And even if that wasn't a converting experience for the stranger, we know that if someone was looking for healing of some sort, perhaps of sin or some sickness, or were looking for the power that only comes from the sacraments of Jesus, they would find it here. They would find it proclaimed from the housetops here in this church. And even if they weren't looking for that, perhaps, like many people, they were just looking for simple fellowship, looking for a place to be welcomed and embraced and to belong to. They would find that here too, for the warmth and friendliness of our congregation embraces the visitor and the stranger. It is true that such visitors won't find here a Billy Graham style of preaching that men should repent, though I do get wound up occasionally. But at every Mass they would find an invitation to confess their sins personally, and in the confessing to receive God's absolution. And that's what we get every Sunday. And it is the ultimate healing that we need. In his epistle, St. James exhorts us, confess your sins to one another. Quite frankly, I couldn't think of anything more unpleasant or more unattractive. But the church does take St. James at his word, and so we have that neglected sacrament, the sacrament of confession. And we offer that as part of our ministry of conversion here. For of course, when one makes their confession, they are literally converted more and more like Christ. So you see, all that a seeker of Christ needs is to be found here at All Saints Episcopal Church, San Diego. And in the evangelism that comes with the seeker, we all have a part to play, the clergy and the people. Even if you think that we are the ones called to be the preachers, all of us are called to be evangelists. When the apostles went out, they preached and then healed. The first thing, the preaching of repentance, led to the second thing, the healing. Because, of course, repentance is always followed by healing and grace. And in the economy of salvation, we encounter that healing and grace most strongly in the Holy Sacrament of the altar. Here, as we come to offer our prayers and praise, to humble ourselves before the throne of grace, we receive that grace in the simple sacrament of Holy Communion. So, brothers and sisters, do come forward. Come forward and receive the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. Receive it with repentance, faith and love, just as if you were hearing those apostles all those years ago calling you. And in the doing so, you will be filled with all the grace and healing you need for this week, for this life, and for eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.